Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the BC. It is Saturday.
February 2nd, Anno Domini 2013.
And you lucky people. You're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And for the next 2 hours, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. It's going to be a doozy. So let's start with our news of the week for the poll.
The other thing up, that's kind of nice.
All right, we're going to start with a little bit of something exciting in the way of news. We're a little slow getting set up today, so I apologize for that. But that's the way it is.
Somebody put my auto cable back in the wrong bag.
Unbelievable. That would be you then.
Yeah, I was going to say, wasn't that you from last Saturday? Yeah.
All right, here's a first news item of the day. Well, reports said that Apple's iOS 6.1 software had references to a 128-gigabyte iOS device. Apple had actually confirmed the existence of such a device this week by issuing a press release detailing the launch of 128-gigabyte versions of its fourth-generation iPad with Retina display. Apple says that the new 128-gigabyte versions of the fourth-generation iPad will go on sale on February 5th in both black and white variations. Wow! Party at Apple for $800 for the Wi-Fi version and $930 for the 4G-enabled model. That's right, $800 for an iPad, $930 for an iPad. As always, the devices can be ordered both online and in-store. The new iPad model doesn't launch with any other new features, but will, of course, use Apple's new iOS 6.1 software, which actually features LTE support for a number of new carriers around the world, Fandango movie ticket support in Siri, and other notable improvements. With more than 120 million iPads sold, it's clear the customers around the world love their iPads, and every day they are finding more great reasons to work, learn, and play on their iPads rather than their old PCs, said Phil Schiller, Apple's Senior Vice President of Worldwide Marketing.
Yeah, but don't you think they're going to hit a point that this pricing is going to price themselves out?
People will spend whatever, if you're an Apple fan, you will spend whatever amount of money it takes.
I guess I haven't drank enough of the Kool-Aid.
You have not. You have not. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is this. Apple is coming out with a 128-gig iPad, and your choices are, finally, I must have one. Seriously? That's kind of intriguing. Wow, how much compensation do you need? And who cares? So far, we have 38 votes, and who cares is well in the lead. But I know you'll have more to say, because you are our audience. And so when you're done, check the yellow box underneath the poll. Click on Give Us Your Opinion. It will take you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
And the question there is, what would you do with a 128-gigabyte iPad? So far, none of the answers actually answer the question, but that's okay.
And normal
for us. And then come back and join us, because let's face it, we're going to be having plenty of fun today. Before I get to the phones, give us a call, by the way, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. Before I get to the phones, let me just remind everybody about being reminded about the show. If you go to soundbites.org, bites with a Y, right on the front page, you will see a QR code. If you have a smartphone, you can click on that, you can scan that QR code, send the text, and every week, 15 minutes before the show, we will send you a reminder about the show. And if you do not have a smartphone but can still do texting, you can still join us with that by simply texting JOIN, sound bites, and sound bites in that case is all one word, to 740-473-6463. That's 740, I remind. And that is, by the way, on our homepage. You'll get a reminder about 15 minutes before every show. Standard text messaging rates apply. It's courtesy of MyMinders. What's interesting is we don't get your phone number. Nobody gets your phone number. The whole thing is automated. We here at Soundbites will never see it. I suspect there's somebody at MyMinders who could see it if they wanted to, but if it's just a phone number, they don't even know who it belongs to. So if you'd like to join, no ads, no spam ever. Only reminders get sent. Yeah, text messaging rates apply if you pay for text messaging. Cancel anytime, blah, blah, blah. They have a privacy policy, which I've linked to on our site. So we'd love to see you join as part of a test. We're testing this and seeing what's going on. So if you'll join, we'll make sure. And if you've joined before, by the way, you have to do it again. There was a small screw up with the database and all the data are gone. So sign up again and it'll all be good. All right, we're off to the phones. And our first caller is Bill from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
I got a hardware question for you guys. I tried calling last week, and I didn't get through, so I called early and often this time.
There you go.
Hey, learned.
I learned. This is around memory. The long part of this story is I had listened to you guys around keeping my eyes to the ground on as far as getting a new PC before this Windows 8 kind of took over everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I was watching. I picked up a Fushitsu is the name of it, I guess. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Yep,
I was
Fujitsu,
keeping an eye on
nice.
It because of the processor. It has an Core i5, which is the third generation, which is yep. pretty much an i7 minus hyperthreading. That's mm-hmm. pretty much what it boiled down to. And the price was great, so I bought it. I got it yesterday, hooked it all up. Everything's working great. It's superbly fast compared to what I'm used to with my dual-core processor machines. My issue is now is the memory on it. It only came with 4 gigs. It has capability of up to 32. They shipped it with 2 sticks of 2 gigs each. And I was online looking at various places to buy, you know, memory that would be compatible. And I noticed that the timing in this particular case is, according to Speccy anyways, on the machine, is 11/11/11/28. And the stuff that says it's supposed to work in the machine for, you know, I think it was Corsair. The timing on it was 11/11/11/30. The cast latency is both 11 on everything, and the voltage is 1.5. It's DDR3 1600. I really needed somebody with a lot of knowledge like that, so I figured the three of you guys sitting together could explain to me, how do you go about picking the correct memory for a specific machine like this that is really a very nice machine? I don't want to mess it up.
DDR3 is about the best you can get out there right now. I mean, that is super fast. It's got good caching on it. And
but it has to match what the computer requires.
Yeah. So oh, yeah. You just can't throw in any memory, because if you try to go in, matter of fact, downgrade it, that could downgrade your whole machine.
Right.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's all in sticking with the specs. You know, on any type of system that you put together, they will always have recommendations.
Right.
And as far as, say even the speed of a video card versus a hard drive, there's always going to be system recommendations even to the memory.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you stick with those recommendations, for the most part, you can't go too bad.
Well, my problem with that is the Fujitsu website for mm-hmm. this machine is very generic. It doesn't give you all that data. It just says DDR3,
okay.
PC 28,000, whatever.
Yeah, so,
that's all you need.
Yeah, that's being specific.
That's the type of RAM and the speed of the RAM.
Yeah, now if they just told you DDR3,
right.
then I'd say, okay, that's a little vague because there are various speeds within DDR3.
Okay.
But them getting down to a specific speed... Again, they're giving you quite a bit of information. I guess you just, don't realize it.
Okay, well, the reason I was concerned is they mm-hmm. don't match exactly what I have in here according to,
Yeah, well, they might have kicked it up a notch.
Yeah, it's 11.11.11.28, and the one they're selling is 11.11.11.30. And what, I was just wondering if...
What are those numbers?
The CL is both 11 on both of them, and the 1.5 volt on both. And I was just wondering if that last number is going to mess up something.
No, that could be a...
What are those numbers? That doesn't sound like the speed of the
numbers?
RAM.
Model numbers?
I can tell you. Let me go in there, Specky, here for a second.
It might be the model of the RAM, which doesn't matter.
Or it could be the version of the motherboard in that particular system.
Yeah, it's called clock cycle time. TRAS is 28 clocks.
Yeah, they could have just changed motherboards. I've seen manufacturers do that all the time. You know, they'll sit there.
But that's on the RAM, right? Not on the motherboard.
That's on the RAM. The motherboard, I don't have that data.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, again.
So what it's saying is it wants 28 for this last number, and the memory he can find has 30.
Right. That's what I was concerned
about. Which would mean that it's going to be slightly slower. Now, that's milliseconds.
Yeah.
So it's going to be 2 milliseconds slower.
Okay.
I suppose if you
you're going to be hard-pressed to see that.
I suppose if you filled all 8 gig with something like Wolfram Alpha and did high-end math stuff, you would notice it's a little slower.
Okay. Well, my next part of the question is I have originally 2 sticks of 2. I want to buy 2 sticks of 8, so I want 16. I'm going to get a 16-gig kit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do I take those 2 sticks of 2 out completely, or can I run this 2 sticks of 8 and, in addition, the 2 sticks of 2?
It depends. On how many slots the computer has.
Oh, there's 4.
It depends what the maximum RAM per slot is.
Yeah.
It's 32 total, 8 each.
Yeah,
I'd be doing eight.
Here's the thing, though.
Yes.
You need to check with Fujitsu in some way, because is this a desktop or a laptop?
It's a desktop.
You need to check with Fujitsu, because mixing RAM could be a problem.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's the RAM is in 2 banks of 2, so you can usually mix between those banks.
Correct.
But if you put 4 of the same, it'll run a little faster.
Well, I think where Nick was going to go, and I would do the same, is say, get it right from them. Get it from where you bought it. Then you're going to wind up getting the same memory then.
All right.
It's cause you less headaches.
Yeah, because the critical website for critical memory, or crucial memory, I'm sorry. They're the ones that have the upgrade for my model right here. It says guaranteed compatible with the system.
There's thousands of RAM vendors.
Yeah, and they're $25 more than in another place where I can get it for the same, pretty much the same thing, except for that last number. And that's why I was wondering if that last number is that critical or not.
Well, if you can match it, match it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know what? And sometimes it's better, you know, if they're stating that it will work, you know, it's better to have that peace of mind. Then, you know, I mean, somebody else that's going to say, should work.
Right. Well, yeah, or you know, or just take your chances.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so, and that way, that's the reason I was wondering is I'm going to leave it the way it is for now, but down the road when it's running right now at about 55% of the RAM doing nothing. So the system, it's got Windows 7 Professional on it.
You know, this goes back, remember... Going back a long time ago. I mean, long time ago.
Listen, in the way my memory works, breakfast was a long time ago.
No, I'm talking I'm saying at least 10, 12 years ago. I always made the statement that I firmly believe, this is when we were getting out the 486s and all that 50% of the people out there don't use 50% of the power in their machine, even doing some of all the tasking that it can do.
Right.
And I said, you know, if I can show somebody prove to me that they were doing more, I'd buy them lunch. And for years, it never happened.
Yep.
Because we used to get that question. There's a process in my PC that's taking up 98% of the system. What's it called? Idle.
Yeah.
I know her well. She went to the same school.
The reason that prompted me to go to this is my dual core was taking forever to do things. And this Core i5, I really think that thing is sweet. It's fantastic. It's, you know, I mean, for only 4 gigs of memory, and my other system had 8, and this thing runs circles around it.
Right. All right.
I'm pleased. So I will do that, what you guys recommend. If I have any other issues, I'll let you know. But thanks for your help.
Thanks, Bill. We appreciate the call.
Have a good day.
Have fun. I want you to know we are now on the Google Hangout. Of course, this fellow has no idea what we're doing here. The problem is we're on the air. We're on the radio. And you can stream it live. And I'm also streaming here, but you can't hear the calls on the radio. So if you go to jazz901.org and listen live, you'll hear the show.
And they can also see us live in the studio.
And, of course, we're on Ustream. We're on...
Yep. Scary. We have faces for radio.
Right. And of course, you can also join us in the IRC chat. Which is Octothorpe Soundbites. That's Bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. Listen, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour, and in about a billion different ways, you're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, right here on the truly great, member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And if 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. People are jumping into the Google Hangout right now, which is kind of exciting. The big problem is, of course, some people have just sort of found us and don't quite understand what's going on because I haven't figured out yet how to pump the sound from the show.
You need one of my patch cables.
I need a patch cable through the Chromebook. And therefore, you have to listen to the show live at jazz901.org to figure out what's actually going on, because you won't be able to hear the callers through the Chromebook. There, that's confusing.
totally mess them up one way or the other.
But if you want to be on the show, if you've got a computer question, give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free from anywhere in the known universe, 1-800-790-0415. Of course, those numbers are at our website, soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And at jazz901.org, which is the website for this radio station.
I'm going to say, it's like Jeopardy. They can hear the answer, but they can't hear the question. So you'll hear the answer and then make up your own question.
We should have that. We should have a contest where people listening on the Hangout have to type in what they think the question is.
Nice.
That would work.
All right, we're going to go back to the phones. Our friend Linda from Greece. Welcome, Linda. What's your question?
Okay, I got two comments. One, Dave, thank you very much. I got in, no problem.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
Okay, Nick, are you feeling better?
I am. Thank you so much.
Okay, my question is, iOS 6.1 just came up. I went into the Apple community, and I've heard a lot of people say don't do it because they're having a lot of problems. I haven't downloaded it to my iPad because I wanted to know what you guys thought.
I haven't heard of any problems yet, but I haven't got around to it. My iPad is full, so I can't I can't install it yet. But yeah, I haven't heard of any problems with it.
Yeah, I went to the support community, and one lady said, now that she's put 6.1 on, she can't get into the app she was able to get into before.
Oh, that's an app problem. Apps sometimes have to be updated to be compatible with the new OS.
Yeah, and she said she couldn't get into the App Store either since she downloaded that. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my, you know, so I'm a little squeamish about downloading it.
Yeah, you should be able to get to the App Store. Sometimes, it's a computer. Sometimes you have to reboot. And okay, that's turning it off completely, not just putting it to sleep.
I'm doing it on my iPad. I got it on my iPad, but I'm not sure I should do it.
Well, so some people like to wait a couple of weeks and see if there's a 6.1.1 patch to fix the
patch. A patch.
Yeah.
So I think I should do that?
Yeah, if there's nothing, mission critical in the new update you want, then it doesn't hurt to wait a few weeks.
Is everything working fine right now?
Yes.
Then why mess with it?
Okay.
Wait.
Okay.
Unless there was an issue, then, just wait.
And I tell you, I have Apple TV. I love it. I did the software update. It took 3 hours. Does it normally take that long?
That could be why you're having what I'm seeing with iOS 6.1. People are having trouble downloading it over cellular. So the answer there is downloaded on Wi-Fi. But the download for the Apple TV, you may be having internet issues in your internet speed. Depending on how far back your Apple TV was.
I just got it about a month or so ago.
Yeah, so it shouldn't have been too far to need to have that big of an update.
It took three hours.
Yeah, that does seem inordinately long.
Yeah, I thought so. So what I did was I have it on HDMI 2, so I went back to my regular TV and kept checking back every once in a while. And
the other thing that happens is usually for the first week or so that an update is out, the 100 million people ahead of you are already downloading it.
That could be
it. And that could be some of it, too, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad you're feeling better, Nick. That's all I wanted to know. So I'll wait for a while to download that to my iPad then.
Yeah. Give it a couple of weeks and see what happens.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Linda.
Okay.
Bye. That's one of the problems. I've got a 16 gig iPad and I download so many apps. Ooh, that's neat. Ooh, that's neat. Ooh, that's neat. And then suddenly there's no room to update more and.
Well, and this is...
And I can't decide what I want to delete, because I want to keep them all. And you can always download them again for free, but I want them all.
See, and this is why, you know, because a couple of people...
That's why there's a 128-gig model.
What the heck are you going to need 128-gig for? Well, geeks are going to need it, because we download every conceivable thing
and don't
we
delete
see.
Anything.
And we never delete anything, just in case... God forbid, someday in the distant future, we
might
want to show it to somebody. We're never going to need it. Even we know we're never going to need it, but we might want to show it to somebody else. And then for 128 gig, you can have all your pictures and never have to actually choose the good ones.
Yeah, which ones you want to keep and which one you want to ditch.
You don't have to do that for a while.
Yeah.
And then music. Yep. I don't know why you would put music on an iPad. I'm not going to go there. None of my business.
Yeah, no.
You get a Bluetooth headset and you're on your way. But now with 128 gig, you can have a lot more stuff in there.
Well, and we are seeing some people using the iPad in place of a laptop. Because, you know, for now, that $900 for a 128 gig iPad, you're pushing the $1,000 for a 64 gig MacBook Air. With an 11-inch screen, so it's a little bigger screen and a keyboard, but we're seeing more and more people using the iPads now instead of low-end laptops. You know, you just want something portable around the house, something to carry with you. The iPad is cheaper and lighter than a laptop.
Yep.
And when you do want that 128 gigs for all of the books and all of the movies and all of the everything you want.
Right. All right, well, let me remind you before we go back to the phones that you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. You can listen to us live at 91.5 FM in Western New York. You can listen live over the internet at jazz901.org. You can watch us on Ustream at Sound Bites Radio. Where's the dash in that?
I don't think there are any.
Okay, Sound Bites Radio. You can join us in the IRC chat, #SoundBites, and that's Bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. And of course, you can join the IRC, not the IRC chat, the Google Hang. I'm done. It's too freaking much technology all at once. You can join us on the Google Hangout. Just look for me, Nick Francesco, on Google Plus. There's half a dozen people in right now, so we can take four more. But the problem with the Google.
Some young lady sitting there waving her hands
She's
all over the place. Yeah.
Shaz is waving her hands.
Yeah, there you
She's
go.
Having fun here. The problem is if you're not listening to the live stream
of the
at jazz901.org.
You don't have a clue.
You don't have a clue because I haven't got the sound going through the Chromebook, so you can't hear the questions unless you're listening to the stream. So it's a little confusing, but Shaz is happy. She's dancing and singing. Yeah. I don't know.
She's making some signs. Yeah.
What does it matter? She's still happy, and that's really what counts.
Yeah, I'm
all right,
glad
we're
to
back
have
to the phones, and our next caller is Stan from Webster, New York. Hiya, Stan. What's up?
Yeah, how are you guys doing? I have actually a two-part question. Maybe the first one might answer the second one, but...
Every time someone says they have a two-part question, I think Monty Python. Yeah. And I will ask the second part of this question in a high, funny voice. Go ahead. Stan, sorry.
I love that. Listen, there's a computer I'm trying to reboot. I actually got an old computer from a friend, and I got a hard drive, and I got a battery, and... the problem is that every time I try to reestablish the operating system, or I'm trying to wipe the system and then reinstall Windows XP, we'll say, I'm getting a message that says NTLDR is missing, and then it's telling me to restart. But every time I redo that, it gives me the same error message.
Yeah. What it sounds like is you've got a problem with that drive. And here's why. NTLDR is the NT loader, the new technology loader that Microsoft created with Windows NT and has since never changed. The NT loader is still in Windows 8, as a matter of fact.
It's the new technology.
It's the new tech. You don't need more because it's already new. So what happens is that ends up at the very beginning of the drive. It's the thing that boots and loads everything else. If the drive is damaged... you can't read the bootloader.
Okay.
It could be... how old is this drive?
That's a good question. I actually... my brother was able to get it for me, so I'm not even sure.
Okay. Then it's fairly... but it's fairly old.
It is on the older side, yeah.
Okay. If it were new, it could be that the boot sectors were locked. But clearly it's not new, and therefore they're obviously damaged in some way. So your best choice is to just try a different drive.
A different drive.
Yep. Sorry.
No, that's okay. And then just out of curiosity, the second half, if I do need something like a wiped CD, you know, if I wanted to clear the computer, let's say if I ran into any problem like a virus or something.
Sure.
What would you guys suggest when it comes to that?
For a virus?
Because I know that they offer like a certain kind of download.
For completely wiping the drive, DBAN, yeah. Derek's Boot and Nuke.
DBAN.org, DBAN.org, Derek's Boot and Nuke. And depending on how long you're willing to wait, because it takes a while to do it, the higher the level of wiping, the longer it takes. But if you're willing to wait long enough, you can do it to military spec. So... you can really, really, really clean out that drive.
Okay. All right. Well, that's all I really need, guys. I really appreciate your help.
You're welcome.
No, thank you. Have fun.
All right. Take care.
All right.
That was an easy two-parter.
That was an easy two-parter, and he didn't even use the high, funny voice.
I know.
Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And we will actually be delighted, if not thrilled, to talk to you. And don't forget, check out our homepage at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. You can join there. You can sign up. All you do is just say join Soundbites.
Yeah.
To get a reminder every week on your cell phone, 15 minutes before the show. Just... either scan the QR code that's on the homepage. If you don't have a smartphone and you can still do texting, you can text join Soundbites to the number that's on that page. And every week we will send you a reminder that the show is coming up in about 15 minutes. Now, a couple of things about that. Standard text rates apply, yada, yada, yada. And obviously, as the disclaimer says on the MyMinder site, this is powered by MyMinders. And as it says on the MyMinders site, text messaging is the lowest priority of any carrier. So the reality is that sometimes the carriers delay sending out text messages. We have no control over that. We being Soundbites, and I guess we also in this case being MyMinders, so there's no way to tell that you're definitely going to get it, and we don't control that. But generally, that's the way that works. In addition, by the way, we here at Soundbites don't get your phone numbers. We don't know what they are. We can't send you text.
And we don't want
everything that's done is automated. The MyMinders I've linked to the privacy policy at MyMinders. They say no ads, no spam ever. And I believe them because I know them, and I will hunt them down and shoot them if they do. That's which is a kind of schizophrenic of me, but that's the way that works. And so you can do that. And I'm watching all these people on the line. It's kind of fun. Watching these folks at.
Yeah, well, we got one, two.
We got a half a dozen of them on the line, and we have Shaz. She's very happy to be here.
Yeah,
we're very happy to have her.
Where is she from?
I don't know. Where are you from, Shaz?
You got to print something up and hold it up so we can know where you're from.
Or she can just type into the thing. I've got the sound turned off because we're on the air, so you have to type it into the chat window. And Shaz is now typing.
Yeah,
Chicago, 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 that toddling town, da 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 da. Yeah, I like Chicago. My daughter's in college in Rockford, Illinois. Just a hop, skip, and a jump from you. Does that mean it's over between us? I have a daughter, probably older than you are. and so I go through Chicago fairly regularly. Lovely, lovely town. It's got to be about 40 below there today, what with wind chill and everything else, though.
My sister-in-law is from Waukegan, so we've been through Chicago a few times, too.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I have to figure out how to do that, Chaz. This is, believe me when I tell you, this is all new to us. This is the second hangout we've had, and I have to find the right cables and plugs and crap. But I'll get it done. I just haven't gotten it done yet. We're having fun. This is all new technology. We started out as a radio show 23 years ago, 23 years and change ago, and then we added the IRC chat, and now we've added Ustream, and now we've added the Google Hangouts, and we're working on being the masters or perhaps the whores of all media. But we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 39 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, coming to you in almost every conceivable technological way, although Shaz has given us an even better one. We're going to send everybody a smartphone and let them do it that way, I think. No, it's not happening. It's not happening. Don't even pretend. Not happening. All right, let me read another news item.
That'd be interesting.
It would be interesting. And I would do it if we could. It's Microsoft's turn to have a bad day at the office. On Friday morning, Microsoft Office 365 users reported the cloud-based service was down in part or as a whole for several hours, according to the Office 365 community forum. The timing may be due to the broad launch of Office 2013 and Office 365 Home Premium just 3 days ago. This snafu, which appears to be resolved now, comes a few weeks after a Hotmail and Outlook outage. Microsoft resolved that issue in one day, although judging from comments on the forums, the problem persisted for some users. This has been a bad week for a lot of online services. Both Twitter and Amazon experienced glitches on Thursday, but Microsoft faces unique issues as it tries to move more of its productivity applications revenue over to a subscription-based SaaS model, software as a service, SaaS model, without denting its juggernaut on-premises office business. The growing popularity of Google Apps makes this a particularly pressing issue for Microsoft. According to a statement emailed by a company spokesrobot, some Microsoft services experienced a short-term issue as a result of a networking adjustment. We worked quickly to roll back the adjustments made, and all services are now restored to normal.
Very good.
Thank you. So our question to you, would you use Microsoft Office Online? Are you using Microsoft Office Online? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
A very annoying side effect of this change. For retail, let me switch my camera here. For the retail purchases, what we found in the Mac world, the Office 365 new versions 2013 are only for Windows, but they bundled in the old Mac 2011s for now. But the retail boxes, the price went up. It used to be $120 for a single user. They raised that to $140. They discontinued the three-user family pack that was $150 that everyone used to buy.
Everyone was buying.
They also raised the business version from $180 to $220 and discontinued the two-user business version. So they raised all the prices on their software. They don't include discs anymore. The only thing you're buying for $140 is a key code.
It's a license.
They used to include discs in the box. Now you have to download it. And they're really, really pushing you to buy the subscription model, which is kind of nice. It's, you know, $100 a year for five computers.
Why not just do Open Office?
You stop paying, it stops working. So what we did at our store is we bought all of the old boxed copies we could to still get that three-user license for $150, because if that's what it said on the box, that's what you're allowed to do.
That's right,
But yeah, so it's frustrating for people that were using Office. Now the price has suddenly, you know, tripled, basically. Now it's $140 a user instead of $150 for three.
And here's what I don't understand. Products like OpenOffice are free. Google Docs are free for now. So long. Nice talking to you.
I'll be back.
Yeah, you've heard that before. And Microsoft is raising their prices.
Yep.
It confuses me.
They're pushing everyone to the cloud. We're seeing that a little bit with Adobe products too.
Right.
The Adobe suite, the typical suite we sell is $1,300 for their five, you know, major programs. That's going to $50 per user per month. So in an ordinary 2-year cycle, you're paying that same, you know, $1,300-$1,400.
Right.
But it's not all at once. It's once a month you make a payment.
Right.
And what Adobe tells us and what we're hearing from Microsoft too is business users like that because they can budget it monthly and not have to pay one big price.
Well, and that's exactly right. Yeah. If you're a company and you have a monthly regular bill that's always the same amount, they love that.
Right. But then the problem is when you stop paying, your software stops working and you can't open your old files anymore because the software quits working.
Right. And that's how they get you.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So, I get that.
Yeah. So you're stuck into that. You have to pay forever if you want to keep your software working.
Yep. I have used Office 365. It's eminently usable. I have used Google Docs. It is also eminently usable. It's never been a secret that I have not drunk the Microsoft Kool-Aid, but I have drunk the Google Kool-Aid. I have a Chromebook here. My phone is an Android phone. My tablet is an Android tablet. My desktops are all Linux. That has nothing to do with Google.
Apparently, I can't learn more about Office 365. This webpage is unavailable.
Well, maybe
they're running IIS. Problems.
There you go. There's your problem.
That's why it's not working.
That was what the news item was about. They've been having, maybe they're back to having problems.
Well, and that's the problem with these, you know, Office in the cloud is that if the cloud isn't working or your internet connection is spotty, it assumes you're a pirate and you can't use your software. There's got to be some, that's what I was trying to learn more. There's got to be some leeway. How long will it work without re-verifying that you have a current subscription?
Right. What happens if your payment is simply late or they don't record it on time?
Right.
Yeah, I get that.
Or you're somewhere where you don't have internet access. I still need to use my Word files.
Yep. Well, and that's one of the reasons that's one of the things I like about Google. I'm pretty sure Office does the same thing. I'm going to have to go back and check that when I get to a Windows machine. I realized the other day I don't have a Windows machine. I actually don't own a Windows machine anymore.
Ironic, isn't it?
Linux machines and Chromebooks.
Yeah. Well,
at work.
With all the systems that you have, too.
Yeah. I don't actually. I have a VM.
Throw a VM somewhere. Yeah.
And that's exactly how I'm doing it. But I'll have to check to see that because I know that in Google Docs, I can elect to do stuff offline. I can also download anything I've written in Google Docs in any one of a half a dozen different formats and keep them available to me. So that's kind of nice.
Where I work?
Yeah.
You talk about old systems and that?
Yeah.
We are finally getting rid of this old. You ready? DOS-based.
Nice.
System. You know, it's for ordering and doing a lot of stuff within the company and that. It just takes me back to the old days because, and I've been meaning to tell you guys about this, because you pull up the screen and it's a white screen with black text. And it's just like the old days that you have the menus there and you've got to type in a number. That takes you to the next menu. From there, it takes you to another function, and you can pull up information and, you know, modify. But it's all just white screen with black text. Now, seriously, some folks are having major withdrawal because they, you know, they've worked with it for years.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Now they have this new GUI interface.
Yep.
And it is sending a lot of folks in total spiral.
Yeah, I bet.
Wait a minute. I'm used to going here, here, and here. Well, now you got this nice, GUI, colorful interface that you can go here or go there.
That's part of the chaos, is people are just so annoyed by change.
Oh,
well,
big
and part
time.
Of it is muscle memory. You know, you've been using the same system for 15 years, mm-hmm. and you know that 4371 takes you exactly where you want to go.
Yeah.
Now it's click, 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 and you have to start thinking again, and it actually slows
you down.
Is
it a touch screen, or is it a keyboard?
No, it's all mouse
yeah.
and keyboard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, there's a lot more functions right there that you actually, in essence, I can do less typing. Because I can just click with the menu and work my way down instead of having to hit this number. You know, like if I log on and I know it's enter, enter, and then it's 15, then a 2, and then a 2, and then another 1, and that gets me the screen. Whereas now with the new system, you just go click, 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 and, you know, it cascades down, and I'm there. No typing. I'm just with the mouse.
Yeah, but you're new to the system to begin with, so you never got entrenched.
Well, I'm so used, old school, I'm used to the old DOS days.
Right.
But I really like GUI.
Right.
You know, to have it there, and once you get in there, moving around and doing things, essentially, are a lot easier.
I just want to talk to my computer.
That would be cool.
I want my computer to anticipate me. No, I want my computer to anticipate
me. How was your day? Pretty shitty.
Hey, computer.
Yeah, I can say that.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. I did.
Apparently, you did. You know, I want to be able to say, hey, computer, and the computer will answer, already did it. Thanks. That's what I really want. See, I've said this for years. People say, you know, I need an assistant. I need a PDA. I need whatever that all is. I need a mother. I need someone who will anticipate and do as opposed to remind me to do. I admit it. I admit it.
Did you see XKCD this week?
Which
one? Have to disarm the bomb by manually entering. Right. Enter a tar command. Properly, the first try, no Googling.
And a perfectly legitimate command is tar --help.
Really?
Two dashes?
Yes.
No, darn, I missed. Wait a minute.
Because aren't Unix parameters one dash and a...
But wait a minute.
Let's type it in.
Is there spaces between the dashes?
No. There it is. --help. I have successfully disarmed the bomb. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm happy and excited.
Could you put dashes in there, though?
Is that a weeping angel?
Well, see, now, actually, tar by itself...
If that's a weeping angel. I'm very afraid now.
Tar by itself is a valid command because you get back... What usage you have to add.
That's true.
So just tar with nothing. Itself. That's a valid command.
That's exactly right. But yeah, and we have somebody else coming in. I'm telling you what, there's way a lot too of much technology in this room right now.
And Rob was worried about us three fitting into this little studio.
Well, and that's the thing. One of the problems we have, and I think everybody needs to understand this, this place was designed for DJs to play records.
Yeah.
And we are the first...
We're the only.
We were the first call-in show they've ever had. So the phone system is really not designed for this.
It's unique.
It is in many ways unique. And we're kludging everything left and right. Sometimes we just don't have a big enough hammer. But yeah, I absolutely have to buy maybe a splitter for that. And then
well, there's more patch cables on that wall.
Oh, all right.
There's 8 outs. You just need a 1/4 inch to 1/8 inch.
Yeah, I just have to get a connector.
Yeah, but the thing, you know, Rob wanted to do just a simple camera up there.
Yeah.
And
we've got the camera for Ustream, and we're all over the place. It's Steve's connected in to the board here, so he's got a connection that's
and
working.
Then he's got his iPod over here, and I got it hanging over one of my, because I've got 4 screens over here that I have to work with in running the board, so I kind of got it situated where I can see the time to make sure we don't miss out on breaks and all that type of stuff. And you've got a camera in front of, on yours. Steve's got one.
Right. And I got the camera on the Chromebook.
Need an extra quarter to eighth adapter.
Oh, I don't have another one of these. I don't have a quarter to eighth adapter.
There's usually an extra one from one of the headsets.
Yeah, there usually is, but I don't think we have another headset over here. Man, is this great radio or what? Here's the deal.
I can check in the other studio. By the seat of our pants, dang.
Exactly. Normally, we're just slightly
a little more professional.
Less professional than this. But we are trying to raise the bar to the point where we can actually...
Dang, we can do that one, too.
to do this, too. We're working very hard.
Yeah, but that's the good thing, though. You know, I mean, with the changing technologies and all that, it also keeps a lot of our listeners up on the stuff that can be done.
Yep.
And it's just us playing around and having fun like we've been doing for over, you know, 24 years. You know, why stop now?
That's exactly right.
You know, we haven't in the past... So, you know, it's all good.
It's all good.
Yeah. And one thing, though, I was getting into, my son-in-law had a tablet, and he brought it over, and we were trying to fix it. Again, it's getting scary. And, you know, again, you know how we tell folks on PCs to constantly back up, back up, back up? This is where, again, having the Google Drive, and if you're saving information to this Google Drive on a tablet, you don't lose your information. He lost all this information for his business on this tablet. And we, Dan and I, have tried more things than we care to mention trying to, you know, retrieve this stuff. But it just isn't happening. So a good way, folks, if you can get in the habit on your tablet, is also setting up a Google Drive for the Android tablets and just using it. And then that way your data and what's important to you is also backed up there. Because, again, we're getting so complacent, it's easy to forget to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
And in this case, he's lost all this information that he had.
All right,
we're rewiring here.
Somebody,
do you have your quarter splitter with you? Then you could come out of your own headphone jack.
No, I don't. All right.
That's the end.
That's the end of the first hour. We have a whole... You've wasted an entire hour of your life, or in fact, we've wasted it for you. But we're going to do it again on the other side of the news and stuff. So hang on. We've got a whole nother hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe coming up with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, everybody on these 50 different things, and we'll I can't even talk anymore. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with the longest-running computer show in the known universe. I haven't even been timing this. We are Soundbites right here on the truly great, member-supported Jazz 90.1. Stay tuned, and we'll do more crazy as we come back.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. And, yeah, I have to. We actually simulcast on YouTube last week, but the problem remains: if you're not actually listening to the show live, it's very confusing. And then what gets saved at YouTube is equally confusing forever. So we are at the moment trying to figure out how to. Get this thing to work for us, but we'll figure it out. We just haven't yet. In the meantime, we're going back to the phones. We have Joe from Brighton off the line, apparently. Dave's going to see if he can fix that. In the meantime, I will remind you, if you go to soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, you can sign up to get reminders, automatic text reminders of the show every week. You can either scan the QR code or just send join soundbites to the number on that page. We're going to try Joe again. Joe from Brighton, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Hi, Thank Joe. You, what do you know?
I have a question about a Valet Plus Cisco wireless router. I wanted to move it from the edge of the house to a more central location so I can get better coverage throughout the house. And my question was, do you know if I unplug this thing and then replug it in with a new Cat 5 cables, if that has to be reprogrammed?
No, it does not. Well,
generally you have to unplug it and plug it back in to reset it.
Right.
To realize there's a different device on, because the routers, cable routers themselves only work with one device at a time.
But if you turn it off, move it, plug it all back in and turn it on, you should be okay. Because that's essentially what you did the first time, right?
And yeah, well, I know my wife had a real nightmare in setting it up the first time, even though it's supposed to be very, very simple to set up. And she was on the phone for several hours, you know, to do that. And I didn't want to take the chance of having to go through that again.
Right, right, right. Yeah. No,
That setup is for the coax connection to Time Warner.
Ah, okay.
Not the Ethernet connection to your network.
Yeah, yeah. So the modem will be sitting where, you know, will be staying put. Yeah.
Well, you're still going to need then to connect it to... Is it connected right now via coax?
Well, no, the router's connected with Cat 5.
Okay. You're still going to have to do that, of course. So you're going to have to string a Cat 5 to... Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But once you've done that, turn everything off, move it, and turn everything on in the right order. First the cable modem, then the router, then the computers.
Oh, I see. The modem has to be shut off also.
It would be safest.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So
I see.
Turn everything off, move it, turn the router on, wait a couple of minutes... And a real couple of minutes. Don't just count to eight and think that's close enough. Then turn turn everything off. Turn the cable modem on. Wait a couple of minutes. Then turn the router on. Wait a couple of minutes. And then turn the computers on. And everything should work fine.
Oh, great. Great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Good luck.
Good. Thanks.
One of the things that people sometimes forget.
He's done.
He's done. One of the things that people sometimes forget is that there's often a wait for wireless. So when you first turn on your system,
turn down your radio.
There's a minute or so before. Turn down your radio.
Or even, before you turn down your radio, too.
Turn your radio.
Or even just waking your computer from sleep. It may take 30 seconds or so to reestablish your wireless connection. And so if you say you had a web browser open, you wake your computer up from sleep, it's going to try to refresh that web browser and give you an internet is not responding error.
Right.
Because technically it's not yet, because it hasn't reestablished that Wi-Fi connection.
I just had to hang up on a caller from, I think it was Springfield, PA. I could hear our radio station louder, and he wasn't listening. If you're going to call into the station, please lower your radio so that you can carry on a conversation for me.
You'll be able to hear the radio through your phone.
Yes, because when I, pick up the phone and put you on hold, you can then hear it. So, but don't have it blaring. I mean, I could hear it. Matter of fact, I could hear it as loud as you guys sitting right here.
Yep. And the problem is there's a delay.
Yeah.
Which we're clearly not making use of. But there's a delay, and that means that you're waiting... I've lost the connection. Interesting. I don't know what happened there. But the connection was lost.
You're on Wi-Fi, right?
Yeah.
We're just talking about losing Wi-Fi connections.
Yep.
It heard you.
It heard me. but that's the problem. And there's an 8-second delay. So what you're hearing is 10 seconds.
10 seconds.
It's 10 seconds in the past. So when we say, hello, the next caller is such and so, and you're waiting to hear that on your phone, we either have 10 seconds of dead air, or honestly, trust me, we've hung up by then.
Yeah. And like I say, I'm sitting there going, hello, 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 and all I'm hearing is you guys talking.
Yep. Yeah.
So
you have to turn your radio off when...
Or turn it way down.
Way down so that you can't hear it, because you're listening to the show over the phone.
And... The second thing, there's that, turn the radio down, And the other thing is, all right, we're in a very small studio. If you look on, you know, one of the webcams there, you'll see this is a very small studio. It's tight in here. I mean, you know, we're not crammed, but when I'm answering the phone and I'm trying to talk softly because Nick and Steve are right here with me, don't you talk softly also. You don't have to. You're on the phone. You can speak up. It makes it easier for me to hear. So, you know, just do those two things. When you call, speak up and turn the radio down. Everything will be good.
I'm trying to there's my rant. That's a good rant. I'm trying to reestablish the chat.
Which a lot of folks said, you know.
So everyone else is still in the Hangout, it looks like. Just you're gone. Now, that's interesting because you started it.
Yeah, the Hangout's still going good. I mean...
So Google is so it used to be the first person to start it would actually host these events, and if they had a problem, everyone died. It looks like now Google is doing the hosting, and you just happen to have started it.
Yeah, I don't know what happened here. All right, I apologize to everybody on the Hangout. I seem to be is what
your spinny thing is spinning.
My spinny thing is spinning. I don't know what's going on there. I apologize to all of you. The Hangout died. It died.
Not for us. We're still there.
Well, okay, you guys have fun then, because I got nothing. I'm just going to read another.
Everybody else sees Nick.
Do they?
Or can you still see us? You just got to bob your head up and down.
Bob your head
like
or wave. We can't hear you.
Yeah, you can't see me.
And we can't see Nick.
I'm done.
Yeah.
It's my freaking. Oh, doggone it!
Well, right. I'm talking and I'm not seeing the folks that are on the Hangout. Sitting there moving their head or anything else, you know, like they can still hear us. So I don't know what they're listening to.
Whatever. All right. The New York Times and the Wall Street Journal have reported that their computer systems have been infiltrated by hackers in China. In a report published Wednesday, the Times said hackers managed to steal passwords and gain access to the personal computers of 53 employees, including those belonging to its Shanghai bureau chief before a private cybersecurity firm helped oust the infiltrators. Less than a day later, the Wall Street Journal reported that it too had been targeted by Chinese hackers for the apparent purpose of monitoring the newspaper's China coverage. In the case of the Times, the news outlet said the hacking campaign coincided with the paper's investigation into the relatives of Chinese Prime Minister Wen Jiabao, which I'm sure I've mangled, who have accumulated multi-billion dollar fortunes through business deals. However, Jill Abramson, executive editor of the Times, said that no sensitive emails or documents related to that reporting effort were accessed, downloaded, or copied. Much of the reporting on those stories, the Times said, was based on public documents. Mandiant, the cyber computer firm hired to help counter the hacking campaign at the Times, said the attack was reminiscent of previous attacks attributed to Chinese hackers. Now, the Chinese National Defense Ministry reportedly told the Times that such attacks are prohibited by Chinese law, and to accuse the Chinese military of launching cyber attacks without solid proof is unprofessional and baseless. So, how do you feel knowing that even the New York Times can be hacked? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. And we will be happy to chat with you. What we're finding is that even when a system is fairly well managed, and the system at the Times was very well managed, attacks can happen. And one of the ways that people work to prevent that is with systems by hiring someone to come in and try to break into their system. Those are often called tiger teams, and I know a couple of people who run tiger teams. Yeah. They are
done legitimately, and not just some kid probing the system.
Right. I'm done. I can't join the Hangout. I can't.
There've actually been a couple of news stories recently where kids, you know, 20-year-olds in college have been arrested for pointing out security flaws in systems. And, you know, I found your flaw. You should thank me, not arrest me, but you're technically violating the law by breaking into someone's network, which is very frustrating. In fact, there was another case where a company found that one of their contract, not contract, their direct hire programming employees had outsourced his own job to China. And he had a five-figure salary, and he was paying a bunch of contract programmers in China $50,000 a year to do his job for him.
Brilliant.
And it was found...
Back to the point.
Yeah, it was found because they saw these weird VPN connections coming in from China. They thought their system had been under attack, and so they hired a tiger team to figure out what was going on.
Yeah, apparently it turns out that the folks in China were actually... better coders than this guy was.
Yeah, all his reviews were positive and writes really good, clean code. And so I'm wondering if there's anything in his employment contract that said he actually had to write the code or if he just had to produce the code.
Yeah. To hand in the code.
They did fire him, though.
Yeah, they did fire him, and I can understand that. All right, we're back to the phones. We're talking to our friend Scott from Buffalo, New York. Hi, Scott. What's up?
Hi. I'm glad you mentioned and the New York Times and Wall Street Journal difficulties. There were also several problems with Twitter this week.
Yeah,
were they hacked? And then there was something about a sub company called Vine.
Yeah, there were Vine and what was the other one? 500px.
The problem with Vine was that it's a video chat thing that
anybody can upload any video they want.
They can upload any video they want. Oddly, and I know this is a shock to everyone out there, people were uploading porn.
Yep.
And the same thing happened to an app called 500px, right, where you were uploading pictures.
Right. And apparently, they randomly were picking things to feature on one of their pages on Twitter, and they featured porn. I mean, the whole thing is automated. Nobody knew it was happening until somebody complained. So now I don't know what they're doing.
It's like the stories you used to hear ages ago, you know, late night, overnight television. Some programmer, it was, you know, flipped to porn watching in the studio and ended up putting it on the air and no one complained.
Yeah, no one complained, exactly. But I don't know how to get back to my chat here. I can start a new Hangout, but it's not showing me my Hangout.
Oh, boy.
I don't know what that's about. Anyway, well,
that was all.
I appreciate that. And in a completely unrelated note, we will be in Second Life tomorrow night, 6 o'clock Linden time, 9 o'clock Eastern time. If you want to come in and sit in with us there, ask me for a teleport. My name is Neil Infinity, N-I-H-I-L, Infinity. And I will be happy to give you a port in. And we chat about, all kinds of stuff for an hour. Often it's movies and television and things like that, even more than we talk about. But we also take computer questions, so that all works out. All right, it's back to the phones. Our next caller is Lynn from Clymer, New York. Hi, Lynn, what's up?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. A couple questions for you. One is kind of goes back to antique days of computing. I remember hearing a lot of discussion in many, many years ago about arguments between geeks that between volume, using volumes on a hard drive and partitions. And I was just wondering if you give me just a quick the difference in them and why they argued over which was what and which was better.
Well,
generally speaking, a volume is a partition.
Yeah. Volumes go on partitions. Having a partition without a volume on it is not useful.
But a single hard drive may have multiple partitions, and each partition would be a volume.
Now, what you may have been hearing was the difference between partitions on a hard drive and separate hard drives.
That could have been, because this was back when I was just starting to learn this stuff a little bit.
Yeah, we used to say putting your swap file on a separate disk made the computer faster because it had two disks to work with. And so some people would partition their one disk and put the swap file on the second partition. That actually made it slower because then there's one disk it has to jump between different partitions.
Right. And the other part of the problem is people would often say, I do all my backups. I have a D drive. Well, it looks like a D drive, but it's just a partition on your C drive. So if the C drive dies, the D drive goes with it. You have to have an actual separate drive to be the D drive.
Right.
So that may be what you were hearing. Yeah. A volume being C or D or E, and a partition being a physical area on a single hard drive.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
So that's almost the difference.
It was so confusing at the time that I wouldn't know whether you just told me what they were talking about or not.
Yeah, that's sort of the difference. One is physical, one is logical.
All right, we are going to take a break. Thanks, Lynn. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 20 minutes after the hour. You can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. As we come back with more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, we're Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
All over America, people are taking the national lead.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we have Cornelius. He's somewhere on the road.
Yeah, he's sitting in his car.
He's on the road. You're not driving, are you, Cornelius?
Oh, no, I can't. I found that anytime I wanted to call you, if I was driving, I could never remember the number and do the dialing. I'll put it in the phone so I can. I have full.
No,
weight.
Never drive while you're talking on the phone.
This is a live show.
We don't want to hear the crash. Stay pulled over. Bluetooth,
but I'm not driving now.
Okay,
in
good.
In any case, I have a very simple question. I travel every week with portable computer, and yeah. I have damaged or lost two of the mouse dongles. I want to know if there is a real live Bluetooth mouse available, not the Apple Magic Mouse, because it's only really got one button available.
It's got four buttons. Well, the Magic Mouse has got left and right button, up, down, sideways. It's got multiple buttons on it. But a lot of companies make Bluetooth mice. Yes. Yeah, the Apple Mouse.
You can click that left and right?
Yeah, I'm using one now. It's got a left button, it's got a right button, it's got scroll up and down, it's got scroll left and right, it's got double tap.
You can't see it.
Not the one I've got.
Yeah, you have to have a different, but yes, there are 50 companies that make them. Logitech does, Microsoft does. 50 companies make real Bluetooth mice.
Okay, none of them are available, say, at Best Buy or Radio Shack or any place like that. I really got to go buy
them. No, all of those stores should carry Bluetooth mice.
They should be there. I haven't looked, but...
I had it several times. Every time I say I want a real Bluetooth mouse, they give me a dance, and in the end, it doesn't exist.
There are cheaper mice that use RF, and they have a dongle that plug into the computer. And so that's what
onto them, and I've broken several of those dongles.
Right. So that's what you may find at the discount stores is the cheaper stuff. They should. I would have expected they carry some Bluetooth.
No, I bought one.
Are they likely to have one?
I bought one for my wife for Christmas. A real Bluetooth mouse, real Bluetooth, real buttons, scroll wheel, the whole shebang. I gotta say it was either Best Buy, Best Buy Office Max, Staples, one of those.
Really?
And I know we
I can't remember which one, know I did. I know I bought it locally at one of those places.
Yeah, we carry the Apple brand as well as several other third-party brand Bluetooth mice at our store, too.
That's Lightspeed?
At MacAv at our store. I would guess Lightspeed would have them, too.
Yeah, I don't necessarily know who you are. But I know Lightspeed's on my way home, as is Best Buy, but I've been in there and got shot down any number of times, and Radio Shack. I have not considered Staples or Office Max.
Well, we like the folks at Lightspeed. You can't go wrong there either.
Yep.
Are you telling me that it really has four buttons?
The Apple Magic Mouse, yes, and the Apple Mighty Mouse, yes, had multiple buttons.
Okay, so I've got the flat thing on the top. You see I can click it left or right and forward and reverse?
Yeah, it's got left, it's got right, it's got scroll up and down, it's got scroll left and right with one finger, it's got double...
Yeah, but does that work on... Are you on a Mac or a Windows machine?
It's on a Windows machine.
You have to load the driver for it, like every other Bluetooth device, but yes, it does.
Well, I mean, the PC thinks it's an Apple Magic Mouse. I mean, I assume it got the right driver somehow. I set that up maybe a year ago, but I was unaware that it had anything but one button. Which is why I was looking for the other one. So my first tack will be, okay, let's see if I can really learn how to use an Apple Magic Mouse. And second thing, I'll find some place I can buy this from. That's all I have for now, gentlemen.
There sure. you go.
Yeah, that's the, that's sort of a well. It's an old thing we run into a lot in the Mac world. We started using two button mice in 1998. But everyone believes there's only one button since that's what we had in 1994.
If you look at
right.
the mouse,
well, there's no buttons.
There's zero buttons.
It's sensors.
Right.
So the entire surface of the mouse is a sensor, and so it can sense left. It can sense right. One finger up and down. In fact, I'm scrolling my computer now. Two fingers goes application to application. You can double tap, and it zooms. So it's a touchpad sensor like you would find on a laptop or an iDevice.
Right. The problem is, for so many years, everybody had it drilled into them that there's a one-button mouse. They look at that and see
which made it hard
buttons.
To push the wrong button.
That's true.
That was Apple's marketing.
For Apple people, if that they know the brilliance of their own customers, I suppose. But you look at that and you think, well, all right, so the whole top pushes down probably, mm-hmm. and it's still one button.
Yeah. In fact, they added, there is a physical button that you can push down, but you can just tap it and you don't actually need to push. They added a little tiny speaker to make a clicking sound because the buttons don't make any noise anymore, but people are used to that click. So
right.
now there's a speaker that makes a click. I also did find a website, Magic Trackpad or TrackpadMagic.com, where you can get Windows drivers for the Apple Magic Trackpad and the Magic Mouse, which enables the touch and scrolling supports as well. So we'll have that posted on our link list in a minute.
Excellent. I lost the Google Hangout again. Something's not right. The first week, everything was fine. This
Google
week,
just doesn't want to hang out with you.
Apparently not.
You and must have ticked them off.
I must have, in some way, ticked them off.
Did you send them a nasty gram or something?
I should have. I may from now on. I don't know where,
but we speak nothing but great praises for
I know.
Google.
I don't know what the problem is. I truly do not know what the problem is. Maybe next week I'll have to figure out a stand for my... 7-inch my Nexus 7 and bring that instead.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll connect better. I'm trying to
connect. My iPad is still going.
Are you seeing me there? No.
See, I'd love to bring in mine.
I'm not connecting at all.
But I don't like the idea of bringing it here and then leaving it in my car for any length of time.
Yeah, you have to go to work.
Right,
so
right,
you
right,
leave
right.
it in your pocket.
Oh, you know... Speaking of that, I saw, it was fall. Again, this is going back. I was watching, waiting for a friend to go have lunch with. And on the corner, this one kid, he's sitting there and he's playing on, it looked like a little tablet. And then he winds up putting it behind him in his belt, his pants.
Right.
Okay, he's got
that's where the gangsters put their guns.
Well, he puts his tablet
holder,
there.
Holster.
All right. And all of a sudden, he's hanging around there, and he sees like the you know where the no walk sign is,
yeah.
you know, the walk sign. He goes to grab up on that bar, and he starts doing chin ups, and he starts to bring his feet over to do like a flip. The tablet comes out and goes down on there.
Yep.
He all of a sudden picks it up and goes. And he goes off, and you could tell that thing probably shattered so
yep,
badly.
Yep.
Because it just came down, bam, slammed, and it's like. Why would you do that?
Yeah, because you're not thinking. People don't think sometimes. People don't think a lot of times. I get that.
Yeah.
I do. I get that. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, my tail, like I say, I love my tail. I've taken it in to work a couple times because if I got an hour lunch, it's great because I got books on it. And that's mainly what I use it for. You know, I'll check email and, you know, love it for surfing the web. I got a few games on it. But I love being able to take it on in and just, you know, sit there and read my book.
I need a better stand for mine. What I've got, and it actually is pretty interesting. It's from the dollar store. It's one of those things that you put plates on. So mm-hmm. you know, yep. if you've got like a memorial plate,
uh-huh.
except it's just a little too far back. The angle is a little too steep. So.
Well, if you figure out
it's a buck, so and it's just wire, so I'm like, It'll probably break, but I might try bending it and see.
Check out and see if there's any other type of stands out there. I love the rubber holder that our Nexus comes in.
Yeah.
I mean, that is fantastic.
Yep. I love that, but it doesn't stand up. You know, my phone. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I have to thank Janine, my best friend at Verizon, Janine, the woman who sold me my very first Android phone.
Oh, at the show.
At the show.
Oh.
That was Janine. And then
she's still there?
She's still at Verizon, and I called her up today, and I said I broke the holder for my phone, the belt holster thing mm-hmm. for my phone. And she said, oh, we have those in stock. Come on down. So I came down, and I got one, and we had a nice little chit-chat. She's a sweetheart. If you're looking to really do to talk to somebody who really knows what they're talking about, it's Janine at the Pittsford Verizon store. There's no question of that. And these things, of course, I haven't done this because it's brand new, but this folds out, so I can actually set this up.
Oh, cool!
Kickstand built into the case.
It's you know, kickstand in the case.
I'm getting back to the point now. My daughter, I, and my grandson.
I have no fingernails.
Matter of fact, this month we have to make the decision whether we want to stay with, you know, AT&T or switch to Verizon.
Yep.
And it's like, you know, start weighing things out. But you know, if you're within the Verizon, you know, Verizon's no problem. But AT&T, I can call anybody, and it's still free for me.
Right. Yeah, for us, it's Verizon. Verizon is free. What I love about that is my sister-in-law is Verizon, and my wife is Verizon, and they talk every day. My sister-in-law is in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And they'll spend an hour on the phone, and you know what? God bless them. It's free. I don't care.
And so we're in
my
the
work
quandary
wife
right
is Verizon.
Yeah.
So we're in the quandary right now because you know at work she doesn't get real good reception, and it's like, well, is that really an issue?
Yeah.
That we want to give it up, but so we got to sit down and reevaluate. Of course, we're looking at those new Galaxy phones.
Oh yeah,
and it's like, start doing our homework because it's the middle of the month that we can make up our mind.
Yep.
So she's going, Dad, what do you think? I don't know, forgot all about it, and she starts blurting this off. And I said, okay, well, I'll start doing my homework. And my daughter is very methodical like me, you know, and go through and we'll sit there then one evening, get together, and lay out all the pros and cons for all. And then see where we can also get the best deal.
One of the things I've read, Verizon stopped their new every two deal.
Yeah, they did. Next phone I buy, I have to pay for.
Right. And that's very common in Europe. You pay full price for your phone. So these smartphones we're all excited about are all $600-$800 for a phone. We're getting them for that $200 price because it's a contract, and we know, or they know, they're going to get, you know, $2,500 out of us for over the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But we're starting to see, and Verizon is apparently one of the first ones, that they're not giving you that deal anymore on those new phones. So we're going to have to start paying full price for phones again.
Yeah, which except makes it, they still want us to have a contract.
Right, full price and a contract. So
that might be a big issue.
That contract is probably going to be the next thing that is going to have to go, which means you'll be able to switch carriers easier. The bigger problem now is that AT&T is one network, Verizon's a different network, and they don't talk to each other. The hope was that LTE, if everyone goes to LTE, it's the same technology, and a phone that does LTE will work on either system. But so far that hasn't happened yet because they aren't implementing the full 4G LTE. AT&T has their own LTE, and Verizon has their own LTE. So it's AT&T and T-Mobile use the GSM network. And then Verizon and Sprint use the CDMA network.
T-Mobile is really pumping themselves up, too, the coverage and everything else. And you know.
Now, Apple's done an interesting thing. The iPhone 5, if you buy the iPhone 5 Verizon, you get the Verizon LTE on it, but it also has a SIM slot, and they call it a world phone, so because GSM is more popular in the rest of the world. So it becomes a world phone without a world phone price, because we used to sell a lot of BlackBerry World phones that were $1,000 because they had 5-10 radios in them to do everybody's network in every country. But now the iPhone 5 with Verizon, you get all the Verizon CDMA technologies, the LTE technology, and then you can put an AT&T SIM card in it and get all the AT&T GSM stuff, even in the U.S. So if you go to a city that has better AT&T coverage, it works. If you go to a city that has better Verizon coverage, it works. You'll have two phone numbers, but that's a different question.
Right.
So make them all your Google Voice number.
Yeah, you can only hook one cell phone to Google Voice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But you can have multiple home phones.
Right.
So it's work, home, and cell. So one phone number rings all three places.
Right.
But only one cell phone?
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's
so then you have
that's
probably going to cost more. So you get a Skype phone number, get a Skype out number for $2 a month and forward that to your cell phone. Because I saw a story. I think it was one of the Twitch shows, the Know How show. They were talking about that with Skype.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rule.
Premature button push. With Skype out, the guy pays like $2 a month for unlimited calling in North America on a Skype phone, which is his iPhone or Android phone using Skype software. $2 a month, unlimited calls.
All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 39 minutes after the hour, we're Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Beep.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Our Chandra on the IRC chat says that he has two cell phones working to... Google Voice. It may well be that this is when I very first tried it ever. So who knows? But we also were talking about. I found an interesting program a while ago called Talkatone, and it gives you unlimited free calls over Wi-Fi or 3G, 4G without using any cell phone minutes. Of course, you use data.
Right.
Which is usually what people are paying for nowadays. But I have, I've mentioned this before, I have my iPod. It's my old phone with no...
That is so cool.
It's just wireless. So it's essentially an iPod.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my iPod. I put Talkatone on it with a phone number that I those burner phones we've been talking about for $16. And now I can talk to anybody anywhere on that... Essentially for free. Now I have to have a Wi-Fi signal. It's not a real phone in that, if I'm driving in the car, it's not working. But the rest of it is...
Well, then you get one of those cheap cellular routers that are $40 a month.
Right.
And that's cheaper than a smartphone with a data plan, which is usually pushing $100 a month.
Right.
I've got a friend that does that. He's got one of the off-brand ones, not a Verizon or an AT&T, an off-brand one, $40 a month, unlimited data, and carries that around with him. It's the size of a deck of cards, pack of cigarettes.
Yep.
I always have to remember what my analogies are anymore. Plug it into the cigarette lighter in your car. No, the 12-volt accessory outlet.
Yeah, right.
But it's relatively inexpensive and usually quite a bit cheaper than what a cell phone plan would be. Most of the smartphones have hotspots on them. AT&T charges you extra for the hotspot. Verizon doesn't. So, $100 a month to use your phone with a hotspot to your tablet or your computer, or $40 a month and you get the cheaper phone. So that's what I still have a Razer flip phone because I barely make any phone calls. Most of the stuff I do is internet with my iPad or my computer.
Right.
In fact, this is almost the only time I use the computer anymore is recording the show and the video. See, I could do it all on the iPad, but only one app at a time.
That's a problem.
I could record Ustream on the iPad, but then I couldn't be surfing too.
Right.
It's a great one-off device or one-at-a-time device.
Right. Right.
But almost all the other time, I use my iPad for everything.
That's right. I was giving an example, a business example in class, and one of the things I said was, back in the day, when you used to have a steno pool, blah, 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 about half the class raised their hands and said,
What's that?
A steno pool? Oh, yeah, okay, right, I'm old. It's like saying to somebody, it's about the size of a cassette tape.
Yep.
What? Oh, sorry, I'm old. I forget.
When I went to Wegmans this morning, the checkout clerk, her name was Josie. And first thing I thought was Josie and the Pussycats. Sure. She wouldn't have known what that meant.
That's
but I bet her parents did.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
God, her parents are probably younger than me.
So yeah, I've actually been playing with Talkatone. Very clear, very nice communication, very nice, and it seems to be free. Apparently, they show ads, but you've got the thing up to your head. Who sees the ads? Whatever. We have a phone. We do have somebody waiting on the line. I apologize, Ed from Ithaca. Go ahead, Ed.
That's quite all right. I enjoy listening to all, regardless of whether I'm on or not.
Thanks.
I have a question about laptops and weather.
Oh, yeah.
Is there any problem leaving a laptop in the car in cold weather?
Yes.
Okay.
Especially if you turn it on before it warms up again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, generally speaking, the laptops are rated for an operating temperature. It's usually on the box. And it's pretty much close to human operating temperature.
Yeah.
Leaving it in the car overnight, it'll get extra cold. You know, let it warm up for a couple hours before you try to turn it on. And especially with a spinning hard drive, that can, if it's too cold, get, you know, brittle and break. What's interesting now is
condensation can build up too.
Condensation
and
is
the
bad
oil,
too.
The lubricant.
Yep.
Yeah.
On the thing can freeze if you don't let that reliquify.
But now,
no problem.
Now we're seeing tablets and solid state drives where there's no moving parts. Computers work better in the cold. The computer room was always the favorite spot at college because it was air conditioned. But some components don't like the cold. The big thing is rapid temperature change they don't like.
So you can, leaving it in the cold is not necessarily a problem. Let's say it gets down to, what is it today, 19 degrees. You turn it on, it suddenly heats up to 110. That's not good for it. Bring it inside, let it take 2-3 hours to warm up and turn it on, not a problem.
Especially even that paste between the chip and the board. You know what I mean? That chip and the heat sink and that.
Yeah.
You keep getting that pretty cold and all of a sudden quick turn it on and
That's brittle and it just goes. Yeah.
I'm working my computer so hard now with all the stuff we're doing. The CPU is 171 degrees.
Yep.
That's almost hot enough to boil water.
Yep. My CPU is only 77 degrees, but the SDA, my A drive, is 118 degrees. But here's the other thing is heat, and the heat works the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You leave your computer in the car
on real hot days.
On real hot days, and it's just as bad, often for the for want of a simpler word, I'll use glue that holds the case and all the other pieces and parts in place. So you really don't want to get it too hot or too cold, and you certainly want to make sure it's at operating temperature before you turn it on.
Okay, great.
All right.
Good to know. Thank you.
Thanks. I've done that. And in particular with hard drives, I don't know if it's quite the same with a hard drive. I left a floppy drive in my car.
CDs were a problem like that, too.
You know, I left this floppy drive in bitterly cold weather. It got to like 7 or 8 below overnight. And when I took it back out again, I lifted it up and all the rust, the oxide coating, just fell right out.
Yep.
It had unglued itself from the substrate.
We had trouble with CDs, kids walking across college campus and freezing in the backpack and then getting so brittle. And then in the summer, they would get soft and melt. I just checked my MacBook. The operating temperature is 50 to 95 Fahrenheit. The storage temperature is -13 to 113 Fahrenheit. So it stores a little better than I would.
Yeah, exactly. But again, store means it's not on.
Yep.
It's not sleeping.
Yep.
It's actually for real, no kidding, off.
And then
it has to warm up before you turn it on again.
One of our callers just said also, when you bring it in to help it warm up, take it out of that bag. You know,
right, for condensation.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And you know, it'll warm up that much faster than just bring the laptop in the bag and set it in the corner. If you take it out of the bag and set it out, it'll warm up that much.
If you set it out and open the cover,
it's
even better, as long as it doesn't automatically turn on when you do that.
Right.
You remember the olden days, back with vacuum tube televisions, on especially humid days, you turn the TV on and it would hiss and crackle as the humidity burned off the vacuum tubes?
Yep. All right, our next caller, Seth
from Gates, New York. Welcome, Seth. What's your question?
Hi. You're just talking about picking out a new phone, and I'm actually at the same crossroads.
Yeah.
And I have to decide between iPhone or non-iPhone, basically, to Android. I was wondering if you could or would be willing to make your pros cons list available to everyone else.
That's the new religious debate.
It is the new religious debate. What is your desktop or laptop?
I'm a PC.
Then it does not matter.
It's equally difficult to sync Android and iPhone to Windows.
It depends on whose ecosystem you like better. It all comes down to iTunes versus the Play Store.
Okay.
Because both machines are very capable devices. Both machines have lots and lots of good stuff. I prefer Android for a couple of reasons. One is I've drunk the Google Kool-Aid. I admit that. But also my phone can multitask. And the iPhones can't, really.
They
can task switch, but I can't start a process, leave it running in the background, go do something else, leave that running in the background, go do something else. And I prefer that. I do that a lot. I connect to, for example, from my phone or from my tablet. I will connect to a system somewhere and start running something, switch over to do something else, come back and look at it. Yes, from my phone. And you can't do that with an iPad. So that's one of the things that I most prefer about Android. Also, I like the Google Play Store. I still find iTunes arbitrary in many ways, and I just don't care for it. But that's really what it comes down to. The devices themselves are both very capable devices. It's the environment in which you use them, either iTunes or the Google Store, and then whether you want multitasking or not.
All right, I'm actually gonna. This will be my first smartphone.
Nice.
So all I really do is text and call, and neither of those very much.
Well, and for that, honestly, I'll be completely honest, you don't even need a smartphone.
Yeah,
right.
The big deal on a smartphone is web browsing and apps and games and all the other things that we're now starting to expect phones to do.
Right.
And in that case, both the Android Store and the iTunes Store let you get all those other apps as well.
And the other thing about Android is that the phones come in many different form factors, so you can find something maybe a little closer to what you want sometimes.
Okay.
All right?
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks. Well, we want to thank everybody who called in. If you did not get on, call early and often next week. I want to thank everybody who lived through the IRC, Google Hangout, also through the IRC chat. I'll have to figure out something better for next week. And we will see you, Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. George is coming in with the best German music you will hear all week long. And we'll see you next week. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.